today by request, Garden Valley Golf Club in Lyndale, Texas.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Hi, Fred. My name is Todd Abney, and I listen to your show in Dallas, Texas. My golf buddies and I are going on a golf trip at the end of March, and I was wondering if you could do a podcast on the course we're going to. The name of the course is Garden Valley, and it's located in Lyndale, Texas.
Well, thanks, Todd, for the request. And now that the weather is starting to cooperate in most parts of the country and golf season is getting underway, do what Todd did and let us know if you have a course you'd like us to feature on the Golf Smarter podcast. Welcome to the podcast that really puts more effort into lower scores than longer drives. Now, think about that for just a second. What do you really want to do when you're out on the golf course? You want lower scores, or you just want to show how far you can hit the ball? And you may not be hitting it straight. But no one hits it straight all the time. We know that. But you can get out of trouble. You need the local knowledge, and that's what we're here to do. And joining us today from the Garden Valley Golf Club is Rob Shields, General Manager and Director of Golf for the Garden Valley Golf Club in Lyndale, Texas. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks, Fred. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. Tell me, where in Texas is Garden Valley, and why is Todd taking his vacation there?
Well, I tell you, we're about an hour east of Dallas and about an hour and 15 minutes from Shreveport, right off of Interstate 20, about 20 miles just northwest of Tyler, Texas. I tell you, one of the big reasons we have most of these guys come out from Dallas is the azaleas blooming in the springtime, as well as the dogwoods and the 100-foot pine trees. It's just a great relaxing place. We have two large lakes, and these guys just have a great time here at our stay-and-play packages.
Okay, great. Why don't you give me an overview of your course?
Well, we have 27 holes here, 18. We call the Dogwood course. It's the newer golf course built in 91, designed by John Sanford. It's about 6,900 yards, to be exact. You know, the course rating is 72.4, slope is 132. We have, you know, it's a traditional golf course with four par fives and four par threes, and then the rest par fours.
Okay, and general feel of the course?
You know, it's like nothing you'll find in Texas, really. It's very unusual. It's something you'd find in the Augusta area.
Oh, really?
100-foot pine trees, azaleas, dogwoods. It's a very colorful golf course. A little elevation changes, but, you know, a lot of water and pine trees.
Oh, so if you have those elevation changes, is this a good walking course, or are you requiring people to drive?
You know, we do allow our members to walk Monday through Friday, and then after one on Saturday and Sunday. The general public, we do not. We do have some areas between holes that there's some distances between the greens and tees, but they're not very big distances, and there's only a couple of holes that are, you know, 70, 80 yards between the green and the tee.
So, Rob, is this a vacation area?
You know, it is a vacation area. We do have a lot of folks that come from out of state, as well as the Dallas, Shreveport areas, the Metroplex, larger city areas in Texas. We are adding to the amenities here at Garden Valley. We have a 600-lot development going in with the first 66 lots on the ground, which will come with that tennis courts that are already on the ground and playable, pool, fitness area, spa. Those things are in the near future. We do have a massage therapist on call so that we can take care of our clients. And then golf and fishing. We'll also have boating in the near future.
Wow, golf and fishing. That's an interesting combination I not hear very often.
We are actually even toying with the idea of you know, little hunting getaways for smaller groups. We do have 700 acres here, and we have you know, the wild hogs that live and also enjoy coming on the golf course.
Okay, now you open up a box of worms here. So, do you have quail hunting here? I mean,
it'd probably just be mostly hog hunting.
Okay,
it'd be small groups and it'd be hog hunting on the
so
back
if,
of the property.
So if you shoot your hunting partner in the face, this one's going to hurt.
Yeah, you don't. You can't even yell "Florida" to four to help that one out.
Yeah. Okay. So don't drink too much. All right. I don't want to go. I don't want to go into the politics. This is a different program.
Kennedy and Cheney. Then
tell me about. I'm going to avoid it. Tell me about your practice facilities.
We do have a practice facility. It's about it's got about 30 stations on the driving range. We have a large putting green, about 13,000-14,000 square feet of putting area. The driving range, you just can't hit it far enough. In fact, I don't think any of the tour players could knock it out of our driving range. It's about 350-370 yards long and usually into the prevailing wind. So we have plenty of area to work on your game before you go out and play the golf course.
And is the driving range right near the first tee so you can get over there quickly, or do you need to really set aside some time before you get started?
Yeah, we're right next to the clubhouse with the driving range, and the first tee is probably, about a 30-second ride in a golf cart. So it's just right there.
Okay, good. And is your practice putting green representative of what the greens are like on the rest of the course?
Yes, it is. It's Champions Bermuda as well, which is one of the better grasses to play on. We used to have bent back in the day, and when the facility opened, it was really a great putting service. As you know, bent grass is one of the best putting services if you can keep it alive here in Texas. We changed out those greens about 3.5 years ago, which has dramatically changed our golf course, and the condition of our greens are very, very consistent year-round now.
Okay. And speeds and undulation all pretty consistent with the rest of the course?
Yeah, this time of year, the speed of the greens are very, very fast because it is Champions greens don't go 100% dormant here in Texas in this area anyway. So they do get very, very fast. This winter we had speeds up to 11, 12, on the stem, which is up around the high tour speed. Right now, as the grass starts to grow in and we start to go down on the height of the cut, they start to slow down a little bit for the next 2 or 3 weeks until we get down to our season heights, which will keep the greens between a 9.5 and 10.
Okay. All right. Well, you're making the place sound really inviting, and that's probably why Todd's going out there. And hopefully other listeners will show up. And when you do show up, look Rob up, and he'll take care of you. But let's go ahead and use your local knowledge to lower our scores while we're there. And we're going to talk about 6 holes today. And I'm going to let you choose. Let's start on the front 9. Which hole would you like to talk about first?
Well, I tell you, we're going to jump on number 3 today.
Okay.
This hole, we added about 70, 75 yards to the tee box this about a year ago when we went through the construction.
And what handicap hole is this?
This is rated 16. Now, just to let you know, we haven't re-rated the golf course since we added the 70 yards to this hole, so I would say it's probably 2 or 4 now as far as the handicap of the golf course would go today.
And it's a par?
It is a par 4. It's 452 yards. You've got, from the back tee, you've got a good pop off the tee. It used to be an iron or a 3-wood, and you could even drive this par 4 back in the day. There's no way to drive it unless you can carry the ball about 440 off the tee.
Is the wind usually behind you then?
the wind is actually right to left, and this is a dogleg left. So it will help you curve around that corner a little bit, but there's just no way to carry the water in the creek to get towards the hole.
So tell me, what's our target off the tee?
Our target off the tee, there's a stand of trees to the right side of the fairway, about 150 yards from the green. A 150-yard pole is right in the middle of the fairway there, and then we have a large oak tree on the left of the fairway. You want to slide it between that oak tree and the 150 pole if you're going to hit your driver. If you're going to hit a 3-wood or even the shorter hitters, you want to tend to stay to the right of that 150 pole off the tee.
Okay. And is it a severe dogleg or a slight?
It is a severe dogleg. It's not a right angle, but it's pretty close. And it does have some elevation changes from the fairway of the 150 pole down to the green. You're probably talking of a 15 or 20-foot drop.
Oh, okay. So if we get ourselves out to that 150 mark, if that's our target, then what happens on our approach?
want to be careful not to take too much club based on the distance there. You have a bunker that is guarding the right front of that green, and then long right you have the back little pond. Left back you have grass traps and azalea beds. So you want to aim, if the pin's anywhere in the center to the front, you definitely want to aim the front corner of that green and take enough club just to get to that point.
Okay. And it, say we come up a little bit short of the green, and we're going to need to chip up there. What do you recommend the best way to do that?
You know, the greens, we have our second cut that comes right from the fairway and does a surround of the green and also the approach. So you have many options there. Our fairways are pretty tight. Our surrounds are pretty tight. So you could use a putter. You could chip and run depending on how far you have and how far the pin is on the green itself. There is a little slope to this green that's from back to front, so you will have a slight left to right break as you chip up on the green unless the pin is on the far left. So you have many, many options as far as pitching and running that ball up on the green.
And the size of this green compared to the other ones?
This green is about a medium green for us. It's about between 7,000 and 8,000 square feet, which is about 30 paces wide, about 45, 50 paces deep from the largest point. It's a kidney-shaped green, which most of our greens are.
Okay. And birdie opportunities on this hole?
You do have some birdie opportunities. You hit a good drive, you'll have a short to medium iron into this hole, and the greens are very receptive. It slopes towards the player, even though you are hitting it downhill. You should be able to stop the ball on this green and have a good birdie opportunity.
Okay, but you should definitely spend some time on your practice putting green to get a feel of it.
Absolutely.
And even though you've had two holes already to get yourself warmed up. So let's go ahead and move on now. What hole you want to talk about next?
We're going to jump over to number five,
mm-hmm.
the par five, 526 yards. There's water on the left of this fairway as well as up around the front of the green that takes over about half of that fairway, from about 10, 15 yards from the green all the way out to about 70 yards from the green. So you want to be careful on that second or third shot there. But off the tee, the fairway slopes from right to left, and then we have built up the left side of that fairway around the cart path. So you have about a 7-8 foot increase from the cart path up to the fairway, up over that little hill there. You do want to watch out for the left, because left is dead off the tee. Absolutely dead. You won't even find your golf ball.
Mm.
If you draw the ball at all, you definitely want to play it down the right side. And if you can carry the ball more than 220, there is a pond on the right that's right off the tee box. If you carry it over 220, you can even hit it over that pond on the right and be in the rough, but it's very playable there.
But if this is the first time you're playing the course, it's probably not a good way to go.
Yeah, you definitely want to aim kind of at the large oak tree on the right. It's about 310 off the tee. If you hit it anywhere towards that big oak, you'll be in good shape for a second shot.
Okay, and then that second shot?
The second shot, you want to make sure that you don't take too much club, depending on how far you hit the ball off the tee, because you do have that water pond. It's about 80 yards from the green, so you want to aim towards the 150 pole, which is obviously 150 from the green. It'll be about anywhere from 180 to 200 yards from where you're hitting your second shot from.
Hmm.
You hit it right at that 150 pole, and you want to actually try not to go too far past that as far as landing the ball, because from the 150 to the green definitely slopes away from you, which also slopes right towards the water. So you want to end up carrying that 150 pole maybe 10 yards at the most with the trajectory of that golf ball, because you're going to get some roll down that hill, and you definitely don't want that thing to trickle into that pond.
This is the kind of local knowledge we need. This really helps. And then we want to, we're going towards the green now, our approach shot. What should we just aim right for the center of the green here? What would you advise?
You know, this green here is probably the most difficult. It's wider than it is deep, and there's bunkers surrounding the back side of this green, and it slopes up on the front, you know, about 5 feet. So if you're short, it's going to roll back down. It's not actually going to get into the water because we have some rough there between the green and the water, but you'll be very close. This green also slopes away from the player.
Mm.
So it's very, and it also has a big slope from right to left, right in the middle of the green. So if the pin's on the right, you want to definitely, even if you miss the green to the right, it's an easier up and down than it is from putting up that slope and trying to get close from the far left of this green, and vice versa. There's some room on both sides of the green. You just don't want to be long into the bunker, which is a very difficult shot. Even though the green slopes towards the bunker, you know, you have that water right behind the green there if you're hitting back towards the fairway.
Where is this hole handicapped? It sounds like a tough hole.
Yeah, it's actually eight. You know, and I think that's because it's a par five, and the way that they handicap, you know, the golf courses, usually par fives are not taken quite as strongly. But we do have a par five that's actually much harder than this one that we'll talk about right after this hole on number nine.
Well, then let's talk about number nine.
All right. Number nine, it's almost 600 yards.
Oh, man.
It's a monster. It's 595. You have water in front of this tee box.
This is from the back tees, right?
This is from the back tees. It's okay. 514 from the middle tees. It's almost 500 yards for the lady. So it's a pretty good hole all the way around.
Mm.
In front of the back tees, you have a little water pond. It's only about, you only have to carry it 60, 70 yards to get over that. The long hitters on this hole actually need to be careful, especially if it's downwind. There's about 310 off that tee box. There's water that goes all the way across the fairway. And actually, from the upper tees, the long hitters can, from the white tees, you can actually carry it. You have to carry it about 260 to get over that water to the second fairway. But from the back tees, say we hit a good drive down the middle of the fairway, you want to hit it just left of the bunkers on the fairway bunkers on your right. The fairway is a very generous fairway. There's some mounds on the left that actually help kick the ball back to the right. You do not want to be right of the cart path. We have some native areas that we let grow up. It's very difficult to hit out of that, you know, that heathery grass there. So you would definitely want to stay left of the cart path, but it is a very generous landing area. With that second shot, you have to hit it over the water in the fairway. There's another water pond to the right of the cart path that's about 180 yards off the 190 yards off from the green in the right rough, but this fairway is also pretty generous. You want to aim towards a 150 pole. There's a lot of undulation in this fairway, which makes it difficult to hit a good target area. There's some bunkers on the left, and then we have a large watery grave that we call that comes off the green about 120 yards from the green. It runs from the green to 120 yards out, and it encompasses the whole left side of the fairway and rough. So you want to stay to the right when you're hitting that second shot. But a good target area would be the right greenside bunker, and which is also just right of that 150 pole that stands in the middle of that fairway.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to that second shot over with and say you hit a good second shot, you're going to have about 150 to 120 yards for that third shot. This is a kidney-shaped green that narrow side is on the right. It has a big back bunker on the back right, and it has a big bunker on the front right. And then, of course, we have the watery grave there on the left front. So this green is pretty surrounded, and it's pretty thin in the back left and the front right. So it takes a really good third shot there to get close to this pin for a birdie opportunity.
Should we be attacking the pin or just attacking going right for the center of the green?
You know, on this one, there is a big slope that not a great big slope like number five, but it's a good sized slope in the middle of the green. So I would say that you just want to play the odds there and hit it toward the center, but try to stay on the side of the pin. So if the pin's on the right side, then you know center right would be a good shot. Pin's on the back left, center left would be a good shot. Just trying to get on the same slope, same side of that slope as the pin.
Wow. I'll tell you, if the back nine is going to be as much fun as the front nine, not only are we going to go stop right here and get something to eat and drink, I'm going to go buy a couple more sleeves of balls.
Well, the back nine is definitely more difficult than the front.
Oh, because yeah. I think that there's a chance of going through a couple sleeves on that front nine.
Yeah, there is definitely a few water holes that will come into play, absolutely.
And plus losing the ball. You said there was a chance of losing the ball.
Yeah, you know, really the only places of losing the ball is at number five, and it's a water hazard as well.
So, oh, okay.
The water pond.
I feel
water
so much
hazard,
better.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of generous area as far as driving the golf ball if you just stay away from that H2O.
All right, let's take a short break, and then we'll go back to the back nine.
Sounds great.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@teetour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @teetour.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
Okay, we're ready to go into the back nine now. And before we do, one of the things I always like to know before I go out to a golf course, Rob, is what is the best shot that I need to work on before I come to a course that I haven't played before? What would you recommend is the shot that I need to have in my bag when I come to play at Garden Valley?
You know, the shot that makes a pretty good difference if you're, obviously you want to be able to drive the ball in play, but the shot where you can make up the most points or score, lower your score, is a shorter irons. You know, from 125 to 130 in, definitely is probably the best shot to work on, and getting it on the right side of the pin so that you have an opportunity to make some putts.
Great. And it's all about feel there.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what? Now we have a chance to do three holes, get your recommendations on three holes for the back nine. Where do you want to start there?
Well, we're going to start right on number 10.
Good.
We actually have, we're known as the Augusta National of Texas, and that was a trend that started back in the 91, 92 when they built this place with these 100-foot pine trees. And the back nine is pretty much lined with the pine trees, whereas the front is a little more open. But number 10 is a great hole, a good driving hole. For the long hitters, it's you have an opportunity to reach it, too. For the shorter hitters, it's definitely a three-shot hole. But off number 10T, which is a slight dogleg to the right, tree-lined on the left, you do have a little open area in the landing area on the right side of the fairway, but it doglegs to the right, so you're almost cut out there as far as having an opportunity to go for it. But the fairway actually runs slightly right to left. So if you hit down the right center of the fairway, you should be in excellent shape for your third or second shot.
And you talk about these pine trees. If we happen to, well, I know it's going to be me, but if we happen to get our ball caught under the pine trees, are they pretty low-hanging, or are we going to have a chance to get out of there?
Yeah, these pine trees are, you know, they're all, I mean, you probably have a good 60, 70 feet before you get to the limbs. So really the only obstruction is the trunk itself. So you have a really good opportunity to advance the ball.
And but keeping it, you know, lower, you're not going to get some high irons out there and loft the ball up.
No, absolutely, and not many folks can hit it over them.
Yeah, so this is a bump and run type situation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, all right. And what happens next?
Well, once you get down the fairway there, you're going to have anywhere from 210 to 260, depending on how far you hit that drive. You want to hit it down the left center of the fairway. Again, the fairway slopes slightly right to left, but this will open up this kidney-shaped green for a third shot. You want to leave yourself enough to put some spin on the ball, you know, maybe 80 to 120 yards for that third shot. Or if you want to try to go for it, you definitely want to miss the right front bunker on the right, guarding the front right of this green. And this green is about 6-7 feet above the fairway, so it's almost like an old push-up green, and the green just sets right up on top, kind of like a cookie cutter situation. So you want to make sure that you leave yourself in a good position in case you go. You definitely don't want to go over the green, but left and short is a good play, or even to the green that's left, pin high. You definitely do not want to go over the green. It's almost impossible to stop the ball on this green if you go over trying to chip back to the pin. The green slopes into the player from the fairway, and it is dead if you go over.
Mm. And is this elevated enough where we need an extra club?
Maybe half a club. I would definitely say half a club. I wouldn't say a whole club.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to go over, right?
Right. You definitely don't want to go over this this green.
Okay. And putting on this green, average-sized green, big green, little green?
Yeah, it's a medium-sized green for us. It's,
okay.
It's definitely got a big slope from right to left in the middle of this green. So if the pin's on the left, it's better to miss the green slightly left than be putting down that slope from the far right.
So you want to try to walk away with a par on this hole?
You definitely want to try to walk away with a par, and if you if you're on the same tier as this the pin, you have a good opportunity to make the putt.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully we just did walk away with a par, but I'll be satisfied with a bogey. What do you want to do now?
Well, we're going to walk right to the next tee box, number 11. It's a 407. It's our number one handicapped hole. You know, you've got pine trees, bunkers, water on this hole, and it's from tee box to green, you probably got a 25-foot drop.
Oh. So, kitchen sink on this one, huh?
You've got all of it, and it's a dogleg right. The play on this for the longer hitters is a 3-wood, even a 2-iron, right at the bunker, just between the 150 pole and the bunker on the, which is the fairway bunker on the left. Hit it right at that. The ball will hit and then run to the right down the slope of that hill. If you pull out a driver, you want to hit it to the right side of that 150 marker because you're definitely bringing in the water over the bunker and left of the fairway into play with a driver.
And tell me about your bunkers.
Our bunkers are, they've been here since the golf course was open in 91. They're pretty light sanded. They fine sand. Our fairway bunkers, we try to have a little thicker sand than around the greens so that the ball doesn't sink.
Mm-hmm.
So it sets up. It's almost like a little waste area that is maintained. There's no pebbles or rocks, but it's just a little thicker grain of sand. So they're pretty easy to play out of as far as the fairway bunkers. Now, the greenside bunkers, have a little finer sand, and depending on the time of the season, they're easy, pretty easy to work with as well. And I say what time of the season. If it's springtime and it's raining, you don't want to get in the bunkers because they can, if it's a rain shower pop up right after the rain shower, those bunkers can be pretty difficult to negotiate out of a wet bunker.
Okay. And now we're getting to the green here, right?
Yeah. After a good drive there, you're going to leave yourself 150 to 130 yards, so it's a short to medium iron for most players. This green you do not want to go over. About 10 yards over the back of the green, you have water. To the left side of the green, about 10 yards, you have water. Front right, you have a bunker. So this green is pretty guarded, but it is a very large green. It's one of our bigger greens on the golf course, and it's got a slope that runs from right to left that kind of dissects the front and the back of this green. So if the pin's on the back, you know, you want to take an extra club because it does play a little bit longer. We do laser our yardage markers to the middle of the green. So if the pin's on the back, you want to probably add another half a club to get back there.
Are your yardage markers all throughout the course, or are they just your 150 marker and your 200 marker?
Yeah, we actually have plates in the fairways. We have the pole at the 150s. We have knobs on our cart paths, colored knobs. We also have all our sprinklers lasered to the middle.
Great, great.
So there's plenty of yardage markers out on the golf course.
Okay. And, again, this is a tough hole, so we're hoping for a par on this one.
Absolutely.
Especially it's the number one handicap hole.
Number one, yes.
Well, you got seven holes left to choose from.
Well, we're going to go right to number 14. This is our signature hole, mainly because of its beauty. It's a 355-yard par four. You off the tee box, you definitely want to take a medium to long iron, or for the shorter hitters, you know, three wood. Probably leave the driver in the bag. You have about 230, 240 yards to the water off the tee box. So, and the fairway is very thin. It gets down to about 18 yards wide once you get closer to that water. We also have a 100-foot pine tree that stands right in the middle of the fairway, about 170 yards out from the green.
You're kidding.
So you'll see the 150-yard pole, but it looks like a toothpick out there compared to that big tree.
It's right in the middle of the fairway?
It's right in the middle of the fairway.
And we're aiming for this?
And you are aiming for it and just a little left of it.
Well, no, let's get right behind it.
That's right. That's right. If you can hit it, you win the hole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a local
Is that
rule.
In the scorecard? You have that written down there?
That's right. You win the hole if you hit the tree. But you definitely don't want to be behind it. But,
so you want to carry them off of it to the left, right?
That's right. It's just like slightly that off to the left of it. There is a forked tree that from the tee box is actually to the right side of the fairway, but it's from the tee box. You can see that forked tree just to the left of that pine tree, which kind of is in a direct line of that 150 pole. That right there is your target. If you hit a good drive down there, you're in good shape for a scary second shot.
A scary second shot?
Kind of a scary second shot. This is our toughest green on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
It has the largest slope from front to back as any green, probably in East Texas. It's guarded by two bunkers on the front, right and left, and it slopes from the front of the green to the water is about a 45-degree slope. So there's some elevation from the fairway up to the green. If you hit it short of this green, you'll probably end up almost in the water. We have cut some rough down. It's pretty tight cut all the way down to the rough, but there's about a 25-yard rollback on a ball that's short. So it'll just, you know, if you land short, you're just going to roll back about 20, 25 yards almost to the water.
Oh, my.
But this green, and the tricky thing about this, you don't want to be short of the green. But you definitely don't want to be long of the pin. Putting down the heel on this green is treacherous. I mean, it is probably the hardest putt that we have out on the golf course.
So, as you were recommending before, you really need your wedge shots here and your touch to be right on to make this green work for you.
Absolutely. You want to be pin high or just short. The pin, we have actually had the holes on this, the sprinkler heads on this hole re-lasered just to make sure they were accurate, and they were, but it is a definite important shot into this hole to be pin high or just slightly below the hole.
So even if the pin, if you're unfamiliar with the course, or even if you are familiar with the course, no matter where the pin is, you recommend that we just head for the center of the green?
You know, I would, unless the pin's on the very, very front. You know, the center green would be a good play here, even if it is on the front compared to being short of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a pretty good-sized slope that dissects the green, and it cuts the front of the green off. If you're above that slope and you have to putt down it, it is almost impossible to stop the ball on the green. So it's a, you know, then if you're short, you're down almost in the water. So it's a toss up. But the center green, 95% of the time, will be great on this hole.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you so much for all those phenomenal tips on how to lower scores while you're playing the Garden Valley Golf Club. Now, Todd probably already has his tee time booked already, but for somebody else who'd like to get more information and to book a tee time, what's the best way to do it?
Well, we have several things. You can go to our website, which is gardenvalleytx.com, and we have all our phone numbers there. You can call us at our local number, which is 903-882-6100. We also have an 800 number, which is 800-443-8577. But GardenValleyTX.com, we are constantly upgrading our website. We actually have a hole-by-hole flyover of each hole that you can look at before you come out. You can, but we'll make your tee time 7 days in advance unless you stay, like Todd, stay and play. And then, you know, you can make them up to, you know, a couple of years in advance. We have people booking our lake house and some of our lodging, you know, a year in advance just to make sure they get it this time of year.
Mm-hmm. And if you're playing in the spring or the summer, should you expect to get wet from the weather during your round?
You know, it's really kind of weird out here. I've been here about 4 years at Garden Valley, and it's amazing that we're sitting kind of in a bowl. Most of the rain that comes just goes slightly north or south of us. Tyler, which is 20 miles southeast of us, you know, they might get hit with a shower and we are completely dry.
Nice.
Same as Dallas. Get hit with a shower and it's moving due east, and it goes around us either north or south. So there's a lot of times when the weather looks pretty bad, but it's calm and actually quite nice here at Garden Valley.
Well, that's definitely something worth remembering, because I know the times that I've been in Dallas and the weather can be just ugly in the middle of the afternoon, or if you can avoid getting wet in your round, that's a nice thing to know.
Yeah.
That's great. Rob, thanks so much for your help on this round today.
Thank you, Fred.
That's Rob Shields, Director of Golf at Garden Valley Golf Club. And when you book a tee time, tell a pro shop that Todd Abney recommended that you play Garden Valley, and you heard about it on the Golf Smarter podcast. I want to thank those of you who have left feedback for us on iTunes. We truly appreciate it. And any questions or comments should be sent directly to me at golfsmarter@ttour.com. Once again, I hope we help you to understand that when you know the course, you lower your score. It's always more fun to play when you golf smarter. Thanks for joining us. I'm Fred Green.